will be dismissed for children's church at this time. And as they head that way, would you turn in the Bible with me to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, we're going to be looking there and other places in the Bible this morning, but that's where we will start. Brother Dan, when it's too cold to go golfing, it's time to go hunting. Amen? That's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And I'm about as successful at hunting as I am golfing, so I guess it doesn't matter. Genesis chapter 45, that's where we're at. We're going to start at verse number 25. Verse number 25. And then I'm going to read down to verse number 4 of chapter 46. We'll read the story here. Great story. You remember Joseph, one of the sons of Israel. Words come back. He's alive. Wow. He's been gone all these years. And praise God that his father and the family found out he is alive. They're going to see him. Verse number 25 starts out the rest of the story there for us. In verse 25 of chapter 45 of Genesis, and they went out of Egypt and came into the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father, and told him, this is the brothers of Joseph, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. And they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father, listen to the word, revived. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph my son is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. Verse 1, and Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father Isaac. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Notice verse number 1 again, please, in chapter 46. Here's what it says. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. What do you think was on Joseph's or Israel's mind, excuse me, when he heard Joseph's alive and we know where he's at? What do you think he wanted to do? Let's go see him. Let's go see him. That's what you would do, right? I mean, you jump in the car. You'd get a flight, the next flight out if it was that far. You would be on your way. But notice what Israel did. The Bible says he stopped in Beersheba and he offered sacrifices, thanks unto God. After shopping, a woman went to her car and found that she had locked her keys inside. She happened to have a coat hanger amongst her bags and tried using it to unlock the car, but she was having no success. And in a short prayer, she asked God for help. Moments later, a burly bearded man came by and asked if he could help. In less than a minute, the car was open. The woman was happy and she said, thank you so much. You are a very nice man. Ma'am, he said, I am not a nice man. I was in prison for car theft. And I have only been out of prison for about an hour. In tears, the woman bowed her head and said, oh, thank you, God. You even sent me a professional to help get in the car. I don't know if that's a true story, to be honest with you, but sounds good. When should I offer thanks unto God? When should I offer thanks unto God? That is the question. When we look at Israel and his family, and it had been a long, hard road. He had already grieved over a son that he gave up for dead. And wow, now he's alive. When should I offer thanks unto God? Can I share with you this morning? I see three things in this passage we just read and throughout Scripture that gives us real clues and real truths that we need to put into practice when we consider the times that we need to offer thanks unto God. When should I offer thanks unto God? We're going to answer that question after we pray. Would you bow with me and we'll ask the Lord again to help us. Oh God, how we thank you Thank you, Lord, for who you are, for giving us the Word of God, the Bible, to show us who we are and how we need to operate in this life. That there's real joy when we give thanks to you, that there's really not the right kind of joy when we don't. Now, Lord, I pray as we look in the Scriptures, would you please fill me with your Holy Spirit? Let the words I share be your words and not my own. And I ask, Lord, if there's a need in us and amongst us or listening right now of someone who needs to receive Christ, what better thing to thank you over? Oh, Lord, I pray you would open their eyes, open their mind, as the Bible tells us, and let them see the wonderful salvation available that they might call on Jesus. Lord, for the Christian, help us to look at our life the way you do, the way you do. Sometimes we see valleys and mountains where you see just a continued cycle of growth when we need to continue for Christ. I pray, Father, you'd help us to see things the way you do, and that thanks would be the result of it. May you get the glory for what's said and done. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. When should I offer thanks unto God? The Bible tells us, verse 26 and 27, back in chapter 45, here's what he said. And they told him, saying, Joseph is yet alive, and he is governor over all the land of Egypt. And Jacob's heart fainted, for he believed them not. For they told him all the words of Joseph which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, the spirit of Jacob their father revived. The Bible tells us, offer thanks when there's a need for revival. Offer thanks when there's a need for revival. I'm just talking about a fresh vision of who God is, a fresh daily vision of what God wants me to do according to his word. Renewal, revival, that's when God says, give me thanks. The word revived or revival literally means life again, fresh life. Lord, give me some fresh life. Give me some fresh oil. Revive me. Help me to see things the way you do. Here's some thoughts on that. The Bible tells us that turning to God for revival puts and renews our trust in him. Turning to God for revival renews our trust in him. Doesn't mean we get saved again. You can't do that. Amen. Once you're saved by God's grace and his promise for eternity, you will never lose that salvation if it's by faith and trust in Jesus. But sometimes we forget to trust God. That God's knows what he's doing instead of us. But turning to God for revival renews our trust in him. Psalm 118, verse 8 and 9 says this, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. How many believe the government is going to bring revival to our land? How many don't believe the government's going to bring revival to our land? God never intended for the government to be the avenue of spiritual revival in any country. No, he intended, at least today in the church age, he intends the Holy Spirit through his people to honor and obey him. That's his plan, to bring a revived and renewed love and life for God and for Jesus. You know, turning to God for revival renews our trust in him. I remember now. God did it back then. Man, he can do it today. Amen. He can do it today. If the God of Genesis through Revelation can keep the promises he has between those books, can't he keep promises he's made to you? He sure can. Turn to him. Turn to him. God, would you bring me a renewed life. Revive me. Revive me. Old or young, God wants to answer that request. Old or young. Turning to God for revival increases my faith in Jesus. Turn with me, if you would, the book of John, the Gospel of John, chapter 3. We know John chapter 3 very well because we often quote John 3:16, 17, 18, etc. But did you know there's more in the book of John, chapter 3? Than just Jesus meeting with a man that night. John chapter 3 goes on to describe a meeting that religious leaders came to see John the Baptist. They were questioning him. They were wondering, all these people come to see you. They want to get baptized. They want to have a life that's different than what they had. Are you the one the prophets have told us about? John said, no, it's not me. It's not me. Not even close. Remember what he said about Jesus? He said, I'm not even worthy to do what? Unloose the latchet of his shoes. He said, I can't even untie his shoes. That's how little I am. But notice what he says in verse number 30 in John chapter 3. This is what he says. Well, let me start with verse number 29. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Now notice, he, the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus, must increase, but I must what? Decrease. Faith. Increase my faith, Lord. Increase my faith, not a faith for salvation. You've covered that. I've made that decision with you and your help. But everything else, increase my faith. Increase my faith. We're parents, my wife and I. We have a lot of parents here today. Raise your hand if you're a parent. Praise the Lord. Some of us are grandparents. Would you raise your hand? Grandparents. Some of us are, well, we'll stop right there. Haven't we learned that it's not up to us? That we can't do it without God's help? It's impossible, unless God's involved, to protect these children and grandchildren and guide them and lead them. Oh God, would you help me? I think when we really consider what it is to raise a family, man, I don't know what you do without putting faith in what God can do. When they're out of your sight, and sometimes when they're in your sight. I want to tell you, that little Leland, he's fast. He's fast. He's fast. He loves running down this ramp here. 2 years old. That kid can outrun any one of us, I think. He's fast. One of his favorite things to do is run down that ramp. Well, where does that ramp lead to? Danger! Cars, roads, and if he doesn't stop, lancing. That's really bad. And we can all holler at him when he's not in our hands, stop. But it's by the grace of God and a little bit of training that he does when he's not in our hand. Hey, you need God's help. How many have ever had a mom or dad? Raise your hand. You ever had a mom or dad? Yeah. How many have a mom or dad who's had health problems? How many of us are doctors in here? Surgeon? Nurse practitioner? Who are we relying on to help our parents? Well, we thank the Lord for our doctors and physicians, and we don't doubt that they had adequate training. Otherwise, we wouldn't take them there. We wouldn't be with our parents when they have that kind of situation. But I'm telling you what, we're trusting God that he can take care of our parents. Amen. And ourselves. Lord, increase my faith. Increase my faith. You know what happens when God increases our faith? Thankfulness. Thankfulness. Thank God. Thank God. Offer thanks when there's a need for revival. Number two, let's look again in the Bible. We're in Genesis 45. Look at verse 28 with me, please. Verse 28. And I use family, but there, of course, there are so many other things. Our future, our present. I mean, God can hold them all in his hands. You and I can't, but he can. He can put it all together as he does. But he's saying, trust me, offer thanks and increase faith. Verse 28. Here's what he says. And Israel said, it is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die. And Israel took his journey with all that he had and came to Beersheba and offered sacrifices unto the God of his father, Isaac. Number two, offer thanks when the schedule is full. Offer thanks when the schedule is full. Someone I heard once say, if you're too busy for the Lord, then you are too busy. You are too busy. Offer thanks when the schedule is full. What was beating in Israel's heart could only be as a loving father. I mean, he doted on Joseph. Remember, what did he make for Joseph that he made for nobody else on this earth? He made a coat of what? Many colors. I mean, this was Joseph. His pride and joy, and then he thought he was gone. But now he's alive. And he was on his way, but he said, no, I must stop and thank God. Offer thanks when the schedule is full. Here's some examples of others who had a lot of things to do in the Bible, but yet they took a moment, they took time and offered thanks to God. King David thanked God before his death. He was busy. He was going to go see the Lord. But in front of everybody, the Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 50, therefore I will give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and I will sing praises unto thy name. This was with his final breaths on this earth. Daniel chapter 6, let's look at this one together. Daniel chapter 6, you know the prophet Daniel. King David thanked God before his death. One thing we know about Daniel, he was prayerful. He was a man of prayer. Daniel chapter 6. Here's what it says. Verse number 10 is what I am focusing on here. Let's take a look. You remember the story, the law, the edict had come down from the king. Can't pray to anybody else except the king. It is illegal now. Today, it's illegal to pray to anybody else except the king. One day, it's not illegal. The next day, it is. What a time to live in. And Daniel, who knew what had happened, look at what it says in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I'm so thankful that verse is in the Bible, aren't you? What an amazing testimony. The world is coming against you, Daniel. What's the first thing you're going to do? What's the first thing you're going to do when the man says it's illegal to talk to God? Not just thank him, not just ask him, but to say anything to him. The Bible indicates that that's the reason why Daniel went to pray. Notice the wording again. Look at it again. Verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went. He said, man, first thing I got to do, I got to go talk to God about this. I got to go pray. Prayerful Daniel thanked God while under attack. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands if you've ever been under attack because you're breathing oxygen. That means you have been under attack. We all have. At times, certain peoples, etc. God says, listen, during that time, look to me. Bring requests, but bring thanks. Offer thanks, even in the midst of warfare. Attack. He was being persecuted. He was later sentenced to death. By God's grace and miraculous hand, he lived through it, and he lived decades longer than all those accusers that came against him. One more example. Look in Luke chapter 2, please. Luke chapter 2. Offer thanks when the schedule is full. Here's a lady who was very, very busy for God. She was not a young woman, but she was busy for God. Luke chapter 2 is where we find her story. Also in Luke 2, we'll be looking at it in the next few weeks, of course, as we come closer to celebrating the Savior's birth. But Luke chapter 2 records much of that. Notice verse number 37. Luke chapter 2, it's a long chapter, but look at verse number 37. And it describes this person, this woman, who was faithful to the Lord. Her name was Anna. The Bible says in verse 37, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple. She was regularly at the house of God, but served God with fastings and prayers. Listen to this, night and day. Wow. Man, she'd put us to shame in some of her Christian life. Amen. And she coming, verse 38, in that instant when Mary and Joseph had come to the temple to honor the law, Baby Jesus was just a few days old. She coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow, everything she had been trusting God to do, bring the Messiah to Israel, he's here. He's here. Notice what it says in verse 38. And she coming in that instant did what? Gave thanks. Gave thanks. The Messiah is here. I got to go tell everybody. But one more thing I got to do. Thank you, God. Thank you. Thank you for filling all the prophecies. Thank you for bringing the Messiah, the Savior. Thank you. In the midst of a busy day, take time to thank God. In the midst of a busy schedule, David did it before he took his last breath. Daniel did it when he was under attack. Anna, faithful Anna, thanked God when she saw the Christ. Let me ask you this question. How often has God showered us with blessings and we have yet to tell him, thank you, Lord. Thank you for all you've done. Maybe you can't remember them all, but don't forget them all. Thank you, Lord. Offer thanks when the schedule is full. Number three, let's go back to Genesis, now in chapter 46 again. I'm going to start there again at verse number 2. Genesis 46, verse 2 says, And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night, and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, Here am I. And he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt, for I will there make of thee a great nation. I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again. And Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. Number three, offer thanks when the future is unclear. Offer thanks when the future is unclear. It's a mystery. Not exactly sure, Lord, but I know it's in your hands. I'm dedicating it to you. I'm committing it to you, Lord. You tell me where to go, what to do. And I mean, step by step, Lord, I'll do it because it's unclear to me. Notice what happened in verse number 3. Jacob was fearful. He was fearful, number one, because he thought maybe his sons had been lying to him. Well, then he saw the wagons, and the Bible says his spirit revived. But he also was fearful because Egypt was not known to be the nice guys. Egypt was not known to be benevolent. They were a world power, and they intended to stay that way. They conquered. They controlled. They were, in essence, part of the enemy. But notice what happened in verse 3. He said, I am God. Jesus, this is the Heavenly Father saying, and he said, I am God, the God of thy father. Fear not to go down into Egypt. God provides courage when we follow him. God provides courage when we follow him. We're going to take some folks out to maybe make some calls and try to talk to others about Christ here on the 16th of November, if you can join us. It's a scary thing. It's a scary thing to walk up to somebody's door. And some of these folks you have not met, you have not talked to. And you walk up to their door and you're thinking of every verse in the Bible you've ever memorized in your life because you want to tell them about Jesus. And it's fearful. But you know what? You're there. You're there. When that friend you invited over for coffee or that person you talked to on the phone, your family member, you know they may not like what you're about to say when you give God some glory and talk about Jesus over the phone or at a family gathering. But you know what? You did it. You did it. And God gave the courage to follow through. You know, the coworkers or the people at school or wherever you happen to be, that stranger who took your money at the grocery store. And God says, listen, say something about Jesus. And you do, and it's scary, but God gives you courage to follow through. God provides courage when we follow him. Verse 3 also tells us that God provides assurance when we follow him. Notice verse 3, it goes on to say, For I will there make of thee a great nation. Where was the great nation of Israel going to be rooted and built up? Not where Jacob was. Not where he had called home for, listen, decades of his life. He was an old man. And God said, go down, and when you get there, that's where the nation will grow. That's where I'm going to fulfill my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and you, and all those who follow. You see, the truth was, not that Jacob's family would never get along without Egypt, but when God said, here's what I want you to do, follow me, and when you get there, that's when you get the blessing, that's how he needed to follow him. Follow through, and what's waiting are greater blessings. Does God rob us? Does he say, I'll never bless you if you don't do exactly what I say? The Bible says he's good to the just and the unjust. So did you know that even on your worst day, God's given you something? But there's so much more in the treasure chest. There's so much more in the bank up there in heaven. He's waiting to bust open the doors. And he says, just follow me. He provides assurance. Philippians chapter 1. Would you look there with me, please? Philippians chapter 1. Look at verse number 6. Philippians 1 and verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, till the day we see Jesus face to face, he will continue to work in our life. When we follow, greater blessings are awaiting us. God's greater blessings await the follower of Christ. What does that mean? Well, he's going to make me a millionaire. Not necessarily. Some of the most godly people are wealthy and poor as church mice. Your financial status doesn't make a difference whether you can be spiritual or not. It's my submissiveness to God, my surrender to him, what I do with what he's given me. God provides assurance when we follow him. Here's a third thought and a final thought. The Bible says here in Genesis 46, verse number 4, he said, I will go down with thee into Egypt, and I will also surely bring thee up again, and Joseph shall put his hand upon thine eyes. God gives, number 3, direction as we follow him. God gives direction as we follow him. Offer thanks when the future is unclear, because God gives direction as we follow him. The Bible says, God says, I will go down with thee. How many would like to have God as their co-pilot all the time? Yeah, you'd never get lost. Google would never take you to that one road that doesn't exist anymore. Or Garmin or whoever, you know, whatever you use. And you would know where you're at peace, where you're at, even if you're not on the map that you have. When we're not on the map that we have, but on God's map, hey, listen, we're in the right place. Amen. We're in the right place. Because my thoughts are not his thoughts, and his thoughts are not always my thoughts. I think I read that in the Bible somewhere. Don't you remember that? God says, offer thanks when the future is unclear. Turn with me, if you would, Romans chapter 1, as we finish this part of our service. Romans chapter 1. We will be partaking of the Lord's Supper, as you can see, in just a moment. But Romans chapter 1, verse 21. Why is it so important to thank God as a Christian? Christian friend, why is it so important? Well, here's one reason. Look at verse number 21, please. Here it is talking about the ungodly, those that would be opposed to God and unrighteous in their deeds, etc. Verse 21 talks about this and that group of people. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were what? Thankful. But became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Thanklessness is evidence of unbelief. Thanklessness is evidence of unbelief. And the fact is, even as a Christian, I can be unthankful. I can be that way. You can be that way. But it is evidence of unbelief. But God says in 1 Thessalonians 5, let's turn there. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's turn there. Chapter 5 and verse 16 gives us another side of that coin. Thanklessness is evidence of unbelief, but 1 Thessalonians 5, thankfulness is a source of joy for the believer. 1 Thessalonians 5, let's look at this. Would you read these verses 16, 17, and 18? Let's read those together, please. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, 17, and 18. Let's begin. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thankfulness is a source of joy for the believer. There's real joy when you can say, thank you. Thank you. You recognize that you have received something that either you don't deserve. Well, I guess that's about it. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. And you wouldn't have gotten it any other way. But thank you, Lord. Thank you to whoever. The instrument you used to bring it my way, Lord. Thank you for, and the list can go on. The list can go on. Can I give you a challenge this week? Let me give you a challenge this week. Can I do that? Have a time of prayer in the next 7 days. So we got Sunday through Saturday. That's seven, right? Sometime in the next 7 days, have a time of prayer and designate it on that particular day and designate a particular time. I'm just challenging you. Don't ask for anything. Don't ask God for requests. Don't ask Him to do something. Start by thanking Him and don't quit. And see how long your prayer might last. Think of everything you can under the sun. Thank you, Lord, that I've got socks on today. Thank you, Lord, there's a roof over my head. You just go down the list. Thank you, Lord. Would you take that challenge? Would you take that challenge? Sometime in the next 7 days, just thank Him. Just thank Him. And then, if you're of a mind, let me know how you feel after that when we meet back next Sunday. Would you do that? Would you do that? I know I'm asking you a lot. But we can do it. We can do it. You see, thankfulness is a source of joy for us. It is. God says it is. You know it is. And yet sometimes we look at life and we say, no way, God, this is not fair. Well, God says, okay, now what are you going to do then? It's unfair. Not everybody else is being treated that way. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Thankfulness. It's time to thank God when we have a full schedule. It's time to thank God when there's a need for revival. It is time to thank God when the future is unclear. Let's thank Him. Let's thank Him. Father, we thank You for the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, for showing us the importance of this little thing, but how it can change our life, even our emotions, on a regular basis. I pray, God, that You'd help us take up this challenge just to simply have a time of thankfulness to You. As we consider the month of November in our country, Lord, we celebrate thankfulness about that, but yet every day we can thank You for something. Now, would You use that time for Your glory and Your honor. Lord, would You please bless the next few moments as we approach the Lord's table. And again, may You get the glory for it. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. When we have the Lord's table, we do not have a formal invitation, but I encourage you to take some time today and review this with the Lord. Review this with the Lord. I'm going to make a public announcement. I will take up that challenge, and I'll tell you what happened. Probably be the worst day of my life, right? I don't think so. I don't think so. But Brother Doug's going to come lead us in a song. We'll get prepared as the men return, come up as we begin to sing to prepare the table for the Lord.